And we're here on the K&M podcast. Ken Brown from WJR Radio, Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Lions football. Game 8 over. Hello, Michael.
Hello there, Ken Brown. Happy Monday. Victory Monday here.
Victory Monday, finally. Finally, Victory Monday. But you know what? As we used to do with a 16-game schedule, but now with 17, I think we still do it. We break the season off into four-game segments. That's what the best coach is doing, Ken Brown does. So the Lions were 1-3.
What are you talking about?
Yes, the Lions were 1-3 in the first four, and they are 1-3 in the second four. So not good, not good. And this is the way I always did it. If you win three of those four quadrants, you're in the playoffs. If you win two and don't lose any, you got a chance. But when you lose the first two, you got to win the next two for any type of playoff possibility. So that's where you're at with the KB formula. But so there's one game added in, so that changes.
They'd have to go, right, they'd have to go 3-1.
3-1, 3-1, and then the one game extra or whatever.
Yeah.
And that would give you eight wins. That'll put you 8-8. You know, and then you got the one game for a chance to go to the playoffs. So anyway, that's what that was. But victory yesterday over the Packers. Exciting, you know, for a low-scoring game, I thought it was a pretty exciting game. I thought the crowd sound was great. You can tell me more about that, but give me your impressions of yesterday's game.
Well, I agree exactly with what you said. And look, you don't have to have a 48-45 game to make it exciting, as long as it's close. And this game was close. It went right down, you know, right down to the wire. There was no score until the last 15 seconds of the first half when the Lions got a touchdown and a two-point conversion, took an 8-0 lead, and never trailed. And they led from, well, I can't say they led from wire to wire, but once they got the lead, they never gave it up and played good. I thought that the defense played well. The offense was just okay, but it didn't give anything away, really. And I thought, I don't know, when you look at the discrepancy between yards and time of possession and all that, they were in the Packers' favor. Did the better team win? I don't know, but the team that was the most, took advantage the most, made the fewest big mistakes was the Detroit Lions, and that's how they won.
Well, I also thought that Green Bay was god-awful. That's the worst Packer team I can remember since Brett Favre, man. I mean, even before Brett Favre, that was a terrible, terrible display of football from them yesterday. Is it a one-game anomaly, or is it a trend that's about to start? I don't know, but I'm just looking at yesterday. That was a bad team.
Well, when you say, did it start yesterday? They've lost five in a row. What do you mean it just started? It's been going on since opening day. They lost their opener, won three straight. Now they've lost the next five. They're 3-6.
Yeah, but
so it didn't just begin Sunday.
Yeah,
no,
but
it didn't.
No, but they played better in those losses. I'm talking about yesterday. They just didn't even – Detroit should have won that game 25 to whatever they ended up with, 9, because – to me, Detroit gave up. You know, the golf was just as bad as Rodgers during the middle of the game, and I thought they there was opportunity to get points and they didn't get them. And I'm not blaming golf. And yeah, I am blaming golf. I was gonna say
yeah,
I'm not blaming.
Are.
Yeah, I am blaming. I thought he was awful for a guy with his experience in the league. He should have had five interceptions the way he was throwing. I just thought he was terrible. But
you
went
had five
but,
interceptions. What are you talking about?
It was five balls. Four other balls that could have been caught. I know, Mr. Protector. You got your golf protection badge on today, but I'm not protecting him. He's he wasn't good. He wasn't good. Now, are there extenuating circumstances? Maybe, but he wasn't good.
Well, I don't think he played alone. I think the defense played well. I think the offensive line held up well. I thought they ran the ball well. I thought
until it counted.
What do you mean?
They ran the ball well until it counted. And we're going to talk about that in a little while, too. On certain plays, when it was time to get that 1 yard, I just thought that they didn't run well. When it was time to get the tough yard, it was too many mistakes in that line. And I thought the line played average yesterday. I didn't think they played that great. I thought they played average.
Well, they didn't give up a sack. I think that was something.
Yeah, but just giving them six. See, that's a false stat, too. Just because you go sacks don't mean you play well. There were games where you might give up three sacks and play great. I just thought that – I thought run blocking left a lot to be desired toward in the crucial times. too many mistakes. Even though he didn't get sacked, he was feeling pressure because he was throwing the ball. He was getting it out too fast, which means he wasn't comfortable back there, which means that he didn't think the line was doing what they should have been doing. That's the way I see it.
Well, that's your opinion,
yes,
Kenny.
Yes, that is my opinion. And we will move on. I did think the defense played a better game. I thought that they minimized the mistakes that they'd been making the last few weeks. I thought they were solid. A couple of guys had great games. And I just thought the defense, well, the whole defense, you know, it was a pressure week for them because you fired your D-backs coach, Aubrey Pleasant. You don't know what's coming out this week. I mean, will they go downhill or will they make a move going uphill? And I think they made a move going uphill.
Well, it depends on whether uphill is harder or downhill is easier. It depends on which way you want to look at it. I have a hard time processing what you mean there.
I think uphill means that you're trending up.
You're going uphill.
Yeah.
Well, that's a new one. you've almost silenced me.
I was about to say, gee, I didn't know that was that controversial statement. Okay, let's put it like this for the layman. I thought the defense played better, Michael.
Yeah, I think they made. I think they're making progress. I think it started really in the game they played against the Dallas Cowboys. I thought they played well for three quarters, and with no support from the offense, and gave in late in the fourth quarter, gave up two touchdowns in the last 3 minutes. But I think they've played pretty well defensively since then. I really do.
Right.
Starting that at that point, I think they played okay.
Right.
Not great, but okay.
Right. Now, all that being said, my last 5 minutes of negativity in some aspects. When you win a game, it's much better. And like I said, regardless of what I'm saying, I'm just picking up points because we're talking about the game. A win is a win. I don't care how you got it. If you walk off, you can have the greatest game ever and lose, and it's not the same as a bad game winning. So they did find a way to win. Let's get that out there right now. And a much-needed win because people want the number one pick and they want to get Bryce Young or whoever they think the flavor of the month is. Wins with a young team like this will help you out better than anything except a franchise quarterback who's number one. I will give you that if one was there. There's not one there. Go for winning games. It will make your program much better in the long run.
Oh, absolutely. That's what. Look, what do they do all this stuff for from March 3rd on? Get ready for the season and trying to win games. That's why they draft players and sign players and trade players and train players and all of that stuff. It's to win. It's not to get draft picks. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but the tank crowd starts early. You know that. Oh.
Of course. Yeah,
oh, they want to just lose all the rest. People were actually mad. Some people were mad. I listened to some radio shows yesterday that they won a game. It's just stupid. You play, Herm Edwards, you play to win
you
the game.
To win the game.
And that's
hello?
What it is. And I don't, like I said, whatever they end up record-wise, but you play to win. And I thought for win number two, and you know, like I said, I hate Green Bay. So anytime you beat Green Bay, it's fine by me. I don't care what it's in Green Bay
because I grew up watching Green Bay. Green Bay versus Dallas, Green Bay versus the Lions. I like the Packers. I like everything they represent. But I want the Detroit Lions to beat them.
Well, I got enough hate for both of us for the Green Bay. So,
yeah. You have enough hate for both of us for almost everything.
Now, things that I do talk about, I don't know what the coach said. Maybe it was Bill Parcells. I don't want to give him credit or whatever if it wasn't true. But somebody said that for every rookie you start, you can count a loss. So the Lions winning yesterday's game with four starters on defense that were rookies. And I just think that that makes it tougher to win games this year. And that's why I like to see the improvement by the rookies. Kirby Joseph, who PFF rated the top safety yesterday, and he's the second rated safety for the season.
Top rookie safety or top safety
no,
period?
No, top safety period yesterday with a 90.1. And for the year, he's the second rated safety period.
Behind who?
I didn't look who was the number one. He was behind.
Well, it's only one line of
tape. I didn't look. I already got the note for him. Jesus, who knew you would ask? Does it matter who he's behind?
Yes.
Why?
Because I want to know that.
Well, you keep talking. I'll look it up while we're talking. So he's a second-rated safety. But regardless of that, this is why people that get on Brad Holmes are idiots. He's been in two drafts, and he's taken fourth-rounders and third-rounders and getting production out of them immediately. When's the last time that happened? Immediate, not 3 years down the line production, immediate production.
Well, you're missing one player, too, a fifth-round pick from last year. Derek Barnes from Purdue, fifth-round pick, played yesterday, played 50 snaps, the most he'd played this season. He played more last year, but with the arrival of Malcolm Rodriguez taking away a lot of his playing time, but Rodriguez got hurt. Barnes went in, played 50 snaps, had a team-high 12 tackles. He had a sack, a quarterback hit, a pass defense, and a couple of other things. He really, really played a strong game. And what another thing he did was take on blocks. He talked to Alex Anzalone, the veteran linebacker, and he said he absolutely loves playing behind Derek Barnes. He says he's everything a linebacker could want. He takes up two blocks at a time. That just goes to show you that the impact a young player has when he got his opportunity. He was ready to play when he got his chance yesterday, and he showed out.
Yeah, but I'm also amazed by people who want to throw a guy away if they don't become a starter their rookie year. But they'll sign a free agent player who didn't become a starter to the fourth year and had the good year, and then they want to sign him. When it's your rookie or your second-year guy, he's got to be immediate. But when you go sign somebody else, it's like, I can say, like, Tahrir Whitehead and these guys who came in and were real good players for the Lions, they didn't play good their first year. They didn't play good their second year. They grew into these roles. Nobody wants to watch kids grow into these roles now. You got to immediately be a starter or you're a bum.
Well, football is not baseball, where baseball, you start at first base, you start at shortstop, second base, third base, and you play 150 games as the starter. Football is different. You rotate people in on different packages, rotate them in and out. You don't get a lot of guys who play every snap except on the offensive line, quarterback, and cornerback. But players like the one we're talking about, Derek Barnes, he might play 15, 20, 22 snaps a game. Those are important snaps, every single one of them. Doesn't mean because he didn't start the game, wasn't there when they played the national anthem, that he's a loser or a bad draft pick. It just means that's the way it is.
No, you're right. And the thing about it, like you said, we don't know how bad Rodriguez is hurt, if he'll be out a while or not.
He only played 19 snaps. So we'll see.
But Jeff Okuda's going to have to start being the missile out there. He injured three of his own players yesterday. Kirby Joseph, Rodriguez, and Okwara. Okuda's aggressiveness. So be careful around the pile, Jeff.
Well, they call that friendly fire. I don't think there's anything friendly about it.
No, nothing friendly about it.
When you get hit, no. Yeah. And I'm not doubting when I say it. As you know, I'm a pretty solid Okuda fan. I like the way he plays. I like the way he endured, the way he hung in there. He's playing good football. He really is. And you know who else? You know, Kenny made his presence known yesterday. Jerry Jacobs. That is a ball player.
Yeah, another
absolutely
another
undrafted free agent.
I'm about to say another pickup by the GM Brad Holmes, an undrafted guy who started last year until he got hurt, made his way to starter last year, got an ACL, came back, and looks like he's gonna help this team out.
Well, he also traded for Jared Goff too.
Who, Brad Holmes?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're not talking
about
that. Look, I'm doing the good stuff right now. All right?
I'm doing
the good stuff now. Why you want to bring that up?
I want the fans out there to know I'm knocking you. I'm not knocking Jared Holmes.
Why are we bringing that up?
Please.
Look, all I know.
Do me a favor, Kenny. Do me a favor, okay? If I should pass away someday, and I'm not convinced that I will.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
I don't want you to put the inscription on my tombstone, okay? Because God knows what's going to end up there.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
You know, that's if you get a plot, brother. You know, that is not 100% yet. he might get an urn, and it might be it might be somewhere else.
You know, and I'm going to get whatever's cheapest. I know my ears. Whatever's cheapest.
Now, a couple of things I do want to talk about yesterday's game. Campbell didn't take the heat yesterday that he would have if he had lost, but there are a couple of decisions. I just want to know where you fall in. And trust me, people, I'm not one of the Stonites who sit there and criticize every decision that this is the world at the end, because they do have an analytics chart and some of these decisions are defended by analytics. But I just want to know where you go in on this. To me, it's important to score first in any game. So I would have took the field goal. I understood what he did, but I would have took the field goal in the first series just to get points on the board. Where you fall in on
were,
that?
I thought there were two key short yardage plays that they got nothing out of. One early, the one you're talking about, and then late in the game on the fourth down play.
Right.
Well, they're both fourth down plays.
Right.
But I didn't mind the first one because you're pinning them deep, you know, and I thought that was okay. I didn't like the second one. And if you were going to go for it on fourth down, and I think it was probably predetermined by Dan Campbell that if we don't make it on third down, we're going on fourth down. Having said that, it was fourth and closer to fourth and one than it was fourth and two or three. I would have thrown the ball on that down. I wouldn't have run it. I would have run play action, flipped it out to whoever.
The third down?
On the third down, yes, I would have.
Yeah, I agree with that. But
I would have done that.
Yeah, but if you're going to run, which they did, I just don't like Williams in the game at that point, because to me, Jamal, he's not a read runner to me. He doesn't read holes. He can't he doesn't improvise through them. He can get through open ones, and he's a hard charger. But on a play like that, when something broke down like you saw, there were other things he could have did, but he just plowed straight ahead. I just think on a third and one like that, I would have liked to see Swift in the game.
Well, he only played, you know, a little bit. He only played 10 snaps. He had two carries for 10 yards, and then he had three catches for 40. And we can talk about that more later. But I don't necessarily agree with you, and I don't really disagree. I mean, there's a reason they do that. But look, he got slaughtered on that play. He lost 2 yards.
Yeah.
He got submarined. He got his feet taken right out from under him. So that's why I would have thrown the ball on third down. I really would have.
Yeah, but then that's what I'm talking about, the line part. When that play, if you're a good line, if you get stopped, it's not going to be because you missed a block or somebody came through. You're not going to get blown up. It's just going to be you're going to beat the guy in front of me. And that play, they miss blocks. A guy comes straight in untouched and blocked.
That happens. You know,
yeah, but I'm just saying that's when you become a good – that's when you had a good game, because that was a crucial play. That's what I want to see guys step up. You know, I thought Decker played average yesterday. I really did. I made some mistakes, and he penalty here, and it just – I didn't think that was his best game.
You know what? I don't think that penalty was on him. I think they called it on the wrong person.
You think so?
I think they called out the wrong number. No, I just saw – I happened to looking at Evan Brown, and I thought he was the one who jumped early. I didn't think it was Taylor Decker. Now, I could be wrong,
right. But
that's the way I saw it.
Right.
But that's not something I focus on either, but I just happen to be watching that.
But anyways, they win the game. You know, I want to sit and talk about the rest of the game. You got something to talk about. We can talk about Swift, and then I want to move forward. The game was won. They're 2-6.
Yeah, one thing about Swift, we keep talking about him getting better. Well, getting better, and he's playing 10 of the 54, 55 snaps, whatever it was. I mean, how much better is that? But the one thing about it, he made impact. You know, like I said, he had two carries for 10 yards, three catches for 40 yards. That's 50 yards on 10 plays and five touches. That's 10 yards per touch. I think that's impact. I really do.
Yeah, and like I said, if worst case scenario for the rest of the year, he's what's the guy we used to have, Theo Riddick. You got to play him like that, then that's fine. If that's what it has to be. But people want to trade him and cut him. I'm like, this is people talking. He gives impact. He's not up for a contract next year. You got him. So just deal with it. If you get the games out of him, fine. If you don't, then he's a third down back or he's a partial back. But he's got too much talent when he's on the field. He's a threat. And that opens up other people, even if not him. So like you said, if you got 10 carry, 10 touches yesterday, Or, you know.
Oh, well, he had five touches.
Five touches. But he had like 50 yards receiving or somewhere like that. Let me look at the stat here. He had
he had 40 yards receiving.
40 yards receiving, and, you know. Yeah. Geez, I mean, that damn. It's looking. Khalif Raymond has 17 for the whole game. So, I mean, he's being productive. And whatever he's got, though, we need to dig into that more. Is it something that gets better this season, or is this just going to be it for the rest of the year?
You're going to dig into it. What are you going to do?
No, you're going to dig into it at the press conference. I want you to dig into it. I want you to dig into that.
You know, the successful ones.
I want you to dig into that. Look.
But here's another thing. Just one other thing on offense. Let's not forget the two players who scored touchdowns on receptions were both young tight ends.
I was just getting into that because I was just about to talk about that as we wrapped up that part of it. That
James Mitchell
Hockenson was traded.
Yeah.
And then you had two guys step up. Zylstra of the Flying Zylstra brothers, who both were active yesterday, and James Mitchell, the tight end, who, not to me, the touchdown was fine, but the third down play to keep that last drive going, and you were confident enough to throw to him, that told me more than the touchdown.
Well, absolutely, but look, let's not get too dramatic about it. The quarterback throws to the open guy, and that really is Jared Goff's game. You know, goes through his progression to find an open guy. I don't think he's a type of quarterback who improvises a lot and, you know, takes a hunch or anything like that. But yeah, I think he's got a chance of being a good player. I like T.J. Hockenson, and he broke in with Minnesota in a pretty good way.
Nice.
Nine targets, nine catches.
Nine catches, 70 yards, and then the last drive, he was getting the ball a lot. They kept that drive going when they won the game.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And nobody ever said he was not a good player. Let's not even fold it.
He's in the second tier. He's not in the first tier.
Right, but
not
like I said,
up to that, he might.
Where you're at now, and have to pay him, and have to do whatever, and you got him. I really had a draft pick, and I think they got a good pick out of it because now you can put those picks together. If you got to move up for a player you want, or you got to do whatever, or add four pieces. I'm telling you right now, though, and we'll talk about this later. I'm not in favor of more young talent outside of maybe one or two next year. I'm not in favor of adding eight new players next year, all rookies.
Well, what I think are you going to do with they're not going to draft? What are you
going to do? No. I'm saying I would.
No. What are you going
to
do?
I'm about to tell you. Can I tell you? Well, let me tell you. Instead of having nine picks, I would bundle picks up, give me two or three good players in the draft, and I'd be done with it. I'd be fine with that. Give me three high drafted players rather than eight over the whole draft. Because
you know what? I would hope if you were doing that as a general manager of the Detroit Lions, I would hope that Sheila Hamp would close the door after the first pick and fire you immediately. Say you're killing my franchise. Kenny's got an opportunity to add talent, young talent. Take it. Look what they've.
I agree with what you're saying, but I'm talking about I'd rather have blue chippers. Then I really have one blue chipper than four red chippers.
Well, it's.
And this is the J. Mo Williams argument. They waited for this guy because this is a blue chip talent. I'd rather have waited for Jameis Williams than now than they took Jordan Davis or took those two picks at the end of the first round and added two players. I'd rather wait for the blue chipper. That's all I'm saying.
Right. But with the issue they have at defense, and look, they're not out of the woods just because of what happened yesterday and a week or so ago. They've got to build that defense or they're never going to win anything.
Exactly. And what do they have next year now?
In the modern era of the National Football League, offenses win games, but defenses lose games.
Exactly. And what do they have next year now? You traded away a $9 million chip. So you got $9 million to get a defensive player in the offseason. And plus whatever else you had. I'm just saying, you traded out an offensive player to get a defensive player. So they're looking ahead.
$9 million is just a start on getting a player these days.
Nine a cap is more than $9 million player, though. Remember, if you got nine a cap, you can finagle a cap to $4 million. It'll show for the first year. So you can get any type of player if you got a $9 million cap space. And that's what they basically said. They said, we're not spending that money on offense. We're going to put it up. We're going to spend it on defense. That's bringing in veteran players. That's what I'm talking about, Mike. I think, like I said, add two or three good talents. But to me, this team is going to be one with some of the veterans you add in the offseason and the improvements of the young guys you have now.
Well, I sort of agree with what you're saying, but I just think that when you've got two two first round picks, 2 second round picks, and a third round pick. And it's a high third round pick. It could be, you know, like the 66th pick in the draft or whatever,
right?
Depending on how many more games they win. And I think they'll win a few now. I really do.
Oh yeah.
I think they've gotten some of the weight off their shoulders.
Yeah, it's like a big sigh of relief. Like when Mike at the casino when he gets up, knowing that the next person sits down is going to hit big.
No. The person who's sitting there right now is going to hit big. That's why I go there. But I think they've put together some good young players, and I think they need a few more. And those players they have now are going to be your veterans in 2023 and bring in a new crop of rookies. Use as many of those picks as you can, but don't overdo it.
But, right. I'm just saying, as you see now, though, rookies only help you so much. The rookies only help you so much.
Well, you know, Aiden Hutchinson is an example of that. I don't know how much he's helped him, but he did make a play yesterday.
They'll make a play here and there, and they'll give you a couple of games here and there. But I'm just talking about the depend on these guys. It's the second, third, fourth year guys. That's the core of your team, and that's what Brad Holmes is trying to build.
Well, you can't have second and third and four-year guys as the core of your team unless you have them when they're rookies, and that's what the draft is for.
Right.
So, Kenny, you can't build a team unless you have the building blocks, and the way you get those are with the draft.
Right. But I expect this team next year, with the cap moderations and things you're doing, I expect them to contend for the Central title next year, or the North title next year. I keep saying Central, the North
title.
Can
we stay in there? Can we
talk? Yeah, I thought Tampa was still in the thing. But I expect them to contend there. I want them to contend next year. Matter of fact, their goal this year should be to finish in second place. That should be
the
goal.
Chicago and Green Bay.
Yeah, that should be their goal. They're one game behind in the win column. That should be their goal for the rest of this year, for these next nine games.
Well, I'm not sure how tough you rate the remaining schedule. I think it's pretty tough, though. I mean, Chicago's a tougher out now than it was
yesterday,
a month ago.
Right. But but to me, Carolina's easier than we looked at a month ago. I'm still not sold on the Giants. Jacksonville is a very winnable game. The Green Bay game, by the end of the year, you don't know if Rodgers is going to be playing the last game or not. You know, the way he's going, he might retire at any minute, or he might, you know, they might just put him down for Jordan Love for the rest of the year. I don't know, depending on how they're going. So there are games on there to me that are very winnable. You know, the Buffalo game, that's the toughest game to me left on the schedule. The Jets, they're good, but they're not world beaters. I think
they're not world beaters, but they're good.
They're good.
The Bills.
But I'm just saying, is there a game on this schedule right now that you just fear the safety of the Lions going into besides the Bills?
No.
Yeah, so they can be won or lost. And that's the fun part of the season. Well, I tried to tell all of you guys earlier, don't get excited. Let's take the season as it goes, because it's going to be fun. Now, let's talk about some realistic stuff, though. They got to get some receivers back. I don't know how many of y'all can come off the list or whatever, but, I mean, the Kennedys of the world, which I call the 4A receivers, the Zylstra brother and all these other guys, that's not helping your quarterback out. You got to get somebody to go with St. Brown, Chalk, or somebody's got to come back until J-Mo gets back. You got to do something.
Well, what can you do with guys who are hurt?
I'm saying you got to get them back.
Josh Reynolds now. Yeah,
right,
Josh
you got to get
them
back.
Now.
And Josh Reynolds, let's face it. Josh Reynolds was a fifth receiver last year, whatever. He's played good since he got here. But it's not like we're talking about, you know, getting Tyreek Hill back here now.
No, we're not. I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm talking about getting the guys you're paying, the Chalks.
Not as quite as dependable as you might have thought he was.
Right, but Cephas, I always thought Cephas, if he could just stay healthy, he could help this team.
Can you take him out of your memory banks, please?
You think that's over?
But I like him, by the way. I like the player. He's been hurt too much.
Yeah. And speaking of hurt too much, when will we see Romeo Okwara? When will we see Romeo Okwara? Because you're going to have a decision to make at the end of the year on him. Because he's like the second highest cap number guy now that Hockenson's gone next year.
Well, we'll see. We'll get to next year.
I'm just saying, though, to me, he's got to play this year, because you don't know if he misses the whole year. Then I don't know if I can bring him back. He's missed the whole year.
If he misses the whole year, what's that got to do with next year?
Because I don't know what I'm getting when he comes back. If he's that long, look, Okuda and him tore their ACL, tore their Achilles around the same time, within a couple of weeks of each other. You know, Okuda played a whole season, and if he misses a whole year, then either it's not responding or whatever is a different, a more serious injury.
Okuda missed a whole year.
No, I'm saying, though, they hurt themselves within three or four games of each other, but Okuda's played this whole season, and Okwara's still not back.
Yeah.
So, you know, something to look at. Something to look at. So, all right. Well, let's get to the game this week. We got the Chicago Bears, like you said, who was a better team yesterday than it was a month ago. But I'm still not sold. I'm sorry.
No.
He ran for a lot of yards yesterday, the quarterback, Justin Fields. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. All right, give him a cookie. He got a bunch of yards. He still only throws for 140 yards a game, 150 yards a game. Not impressed with him as a quarterback.
Three touchdowns, though. He threw for three touchdowns.
Yeah, because I'm just saying I'm not impressed. The numbers to me don't add up with him throwing.
The object is not to get the ball in the end zone now? Is that
Mike,
something new?
Did they win?
No.
Okay, there we go. You could give me all the numbers you want. Did they
win?
Quarterbacks to me are judged on one thing. Did they win? Did they win?
Well, then you must love Jared Goff today.
Yeah, I do. Even though he played bad. Like I told you, I can't say nothing bad because they won.
What do you mean you can't say nothing bad? You spent 5 minutes.
I said I don't think he played great, but he won, so I give him the credit in the world. Mm-hmm. He won. Now he goes to Chicago. I want to see him win a road game. I haven't seen him win a road game since he's been here. It's time to win a road game.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, and if my memory serves me correct, last year, wasn't that the close game where they could have won the Chicago game in Chicago? Wasn't that the one where Chicago won at the end? I thought it was a close game. I got to check my memory bank, but
I think it was 20-10 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was Justin Fields' first win, wasn't it?
Could have been. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a game you can go into. This is a winnable game. They traded away two of their best defensive prospects. They got
defensive players, not prospects.
Well, I'm just saying Chicago gave away two of their best players on defense. They took back Claypool, to me, who is a crime to any team he's on because he's a malcontent. And I'm glad Detroit didn't even look at him. He's if you followed him along or research him, I don't want him on my squad. I don't care how good a player he is. I don't need him. You know. So I hope he goes over there and infects them like he tried to infect the Steelers. And this is a game that you can win.
Well, the early line is that the Bears are a 2.5-point favorite, which indicates to me that it's a pick'em game.
Yeah,
when you're a 2.5-point favorite over a team at home, then that indicates to me that it's a coin flip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time for the Lions to win one of these coin flips. Now, look, they were underdogs yesterday at home, 3.5-4, and won by what was it? Won by six. Was mm-hmm. it 15-9? 15-9. Yeah, won by six. So,
yeah,
tough day.
Well, I think also that. Coming off a win, if it would have been a loss going to Chicago, I could see, you know, the pressure being on 2.5, probably been 3.5. They probably got another point added on. But this win was bigger than just the win. I think it just took the coaching staff, Aaron Glenn, it just lifted the pressure. It was such a bad week when you're firing coaches last week that this just lifted the pressure on the team. And you can go about it freely. They're one game behind the number that they won last year with 9 games left. And you remember last year, didn't they win the last two to get there? They beat Arizona, and then they beat Green Bay at the end, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so this is like icing now. I mean, they can take that deep breath and just play. And I think you're going to see a better product the rest of the year out of them because I thought they were just getting getting in their heads the last couple of weeks.
Well, I think there's something else, too, that when you do something that works, you're more comfortable and confident in repeating it. And the Lions saw things defensively that work. You see guys breaking on balls in the secondary like Kirby Joseph, especially that last interception where he just swooped in on that ball, just glided.
Which wasn't even his best play. I thought the knockaway on the touchdown was the best play from Joseph when he didn't get an interception. I'm just saying. That's a ball. That was Brady. That was a Glover Quinn, the way Glover used to hawk. We haven't had a hawk since Quinn left. Well Diggs was a hawk. Diggs was a little of a hawk.
Right. No, I'd agree with you. Yeah, I'd agree with him.
But this is what you need. And like I said, I was reading up because I asked you about this last week or whatever. Can him and Walker play together? And they can. And Walker, when his season was over, his PFF numbers, Mike, were pretty good. Yeah, like I said, if you go by that. So you got a potential of your safeties being solid, you know, for next year. Now you got one corner of Kudu who's playing good, even though I want to see some interceptions out of this guy before the year is over. I want to see him do that. That's the last part of his game I think that I'm waiting to develop, the takeaway part. And if you remember, Slay early in his career wasn't a big takeaway guy either. It became a couple years later when Slay started taking the ball. So that you develop that as a corner over time, you know, some guys. So I want to see that. And then you work in the other corner, okay? It looks like the plan is in place now. You just got to stay healthy and grow.
Well, one thing you're not taking into account, too, is that Okuda's only played 17 games in the National Football League. This is his third year, but he's played 17 games.
Yeah.
One season's worth of games.
That's true.
And when it's interrupted the way it is, when it's not months, but years, a year between games, then you're really not getting the impact of experience. You're really not, because you're not experiencing anything.
Right. And you can't get better in those two off seasons because you're rehabbing. So you can't even do the off season work. So really, it's a low 17 games. A guy who played 17 games and was a rookie probably would have more developmental time without being hurt. When you're hurt like that, you can't do anything but rehab. So you can't even get better in the off season. So you're right. This is basically his second year starting this year. I mean, starting this week.
Right. So, exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to give you 5 minutes now to give me the – Yeah, 5 minutes because I saw Malik Willis play last night, and I know you want to talk about me. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to dog me because, you know, I was the big Malik Willis fans. Go ahead. Go ahead and say it.
Kenny, when you say that, I picked him to – in my draft, I projected him to be drafted in the first round.
No, I'm just saying the way he played, though. So, go ahead.
But don't you're saying that like I was an anti? No.
I'm saying that he wasn't ready yet. That's the point I'm trying
to make. That's got nothing to do with me.
No, I'm just saying I'm gonna let you dog because you were dogging me because you said I was so Malik Willis. You know, I wanted him up at the top of the draft at one time.
Well, it looks like you were wrong. I think this: when you put a young player into a position when he's really not ready, you can't expect to get positive results. And that's what happened to him. He really, in his two starts for the Tennessee Titans because of injuries, they won one game, they lost one game. He's really not playing quarterback. He's just sort of taking the ball and handing it to people.
Right.
But that's not playing quarterback. That's not checking out of plays and all of that. And I don't think this has helped his development at all.
No.
It's sort of the feel of playing in the National Football League, but it really isn't. This is not playing quarterback.
No.
And if you saw him just come unglued the last two or three plays of the game, you understand what, when you're in over your head and you have no way out, what it does for you.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't hurt him in the long run. And you know what? I don't think it will, because if he were that type of kid who couldn't take it, he wouldn't be where he is right now, especially with the Tennessee Titans.
No.
So I want to see him take a deep breath, relax, get a chance to get back into his program and get ready for next year and years beyond, because right now this is not doing him really any real good, any real service for him playing the way he's playing now, because it's too much to consume right now.
This is why there's a malfeasance that they're doing with him, is because knowing when the season started that he would need a year or whatever, because like I said, he missed that other year and he transferred or whatever. They should have had a veteran, and he should have been quarterback 3. You keep a third one, and you keep that veteran in case Tannehill gets hurt. Because like you said, there's no way that he should be playing these games. And if the Lions bring a quarterback in next year, and he's not like the top 5 or first-round pick that's ready to go, then you put a third quarterback with like the Nate Sudfeld now that can come in case of an emergency, and you nurture a young guy on. They totally are, like you said, you could ruin that kid if he's not mentally strong enough playing him before it was time.
It's the same thing that the Bears did with Justin Fields. They succumbed to the pressure of the fans and drafted him, probably higher than they should have taken him. Didn't play him, then got into this thing. Is he playing this week? Is he playing next week? When is he playing? Okay, we're going to play him for a couple weeks, and I'm going to bench him. And it gave him, in his rookie year, he's lucky. I shouldn't say lucky. He showed some real fortitude in getting through that season and preparing himself for this year. To me, he's a rookie this year in terms of being a traditional National Football League quarterback, and he's handling it pretty well, and he's getting better and better.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with what happened last year in Chicago. This year in Chicago is really the way you should treat a young quarterback.
That's it. All right, well, that's it for our recap today. Chicago this week on the road. Then they go to New York, so they go to third biggest city to the first biggest city. Unless L.A., yeah, L.A. still two. Go to first biggest. So they got two big city games coming up the next 2 weeks on the road. Both winnable games.
Return of the best city of all, Detroit.
Both winnable games. Both teams, to me, that are, to me, talent-wise, right on the same edge. So we'll see what happens this week. We'll see how the week progresses. We'll see who comes back this week, who's hurt, who's not. And then we'll talk about it Friday on our recap, Mike, before the game. And then we'll talk about it next Monday on the review afterwards. So any closing words there, Mr. O'Hara?
Nope, not for now. I think we've said enough. I can't wait to get to Friday and we can start making our predictions and all that and go through a week of practice and see how they look.
All right. The 2-6 Lions straight off a victory against the dreaded Green Bay Packers. And this has been Ken Brown, Mike O'Hara on the K&M Podcast.